Yahrzeit of the Ma'aranayim, of Reb Nochum of Chernobyl. So we will, I'll share with you something which begins with Reb Nochum of Chernobyl, but later we get into Sfas Emes. The third Rebbe of Belz was Reb Yisachar Doiv. And he has a thought on this week's parasha, on a very famous medrash, a medrash that you've all heard, although his twist on the medrash is tremendously mechazik. It's really a tremendous encouragement. So, on the opening psukim of this week's parasha, the medrash says that Rabbi Yitzchak opened his drasha and said as follows. There was a parable to a person who was traveling from one place to another. Again, you have to pay attention to the terminology of the Medrash, because the terminology of the Medrash is very exact. A person was traveling from place to place. And he saw a palace, Dolekes. Now, how would you translate Doleket, Ruthie? So, translate. Okay, so you could either say it was on fire, which is the way I was taught as a child. Is that how you teach it? It was lit up. See, that's a delekis can mean it was lit up, meaning that there were lights on inside, right? But many people translate it was delekis, it was on fire. Omar, so he exclaimed, is it possible that there's no owner? Right? Doesn't this palace have an owner? Hates it's all of Balabira. So the owner of the palace looked out at him and said, Aniu Balabira, I'm the owner of this place. Kach says the Medrash, so too. Lefisha ho yavinu Avram, because our forefather Avram said, can it be that this world has no operator, that this world has no owner? Can that be? Hate it all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'omas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Yochel put his head out the window and said, Ani Hu Baal Olam, I am the master, I own this shop, this is my palace. Quotes Apostle Kuntilim, so Hashem says to Avram, V'yis'av HaMelech Yofiech Li'apayscha Ba'olam, that the goal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to make you beautiful in the world. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu concludes here. Says the Be'el Zerov that we know that Parshas Lech Lecha happened very late in Avram Avinu's life, long after. Oh, yeah, I forgot to turn this on. That this happened long after Avram Avinu already recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was master of the world. So, what was he struggling with at this point in the process? Says Rabbi Yisachar Doiv that there's another difficulty in the way Rashi explains the Pesukim. Rashi goes out of order in his interpreting the Pasuk. Rashi comments on the Pasuk where it says, Ve'escha le'goy gadol, I will make you for a great nation, Ve'avarechach, I will bless you, Ve'gad l'shemech, and I'll make your name great, Ve'hei bracha, and you'll be a bracha. So Rashi interprets that Pasuk before he interprets the Pasuk beforehand. He goes back afterwards and interprets the Pasuk where Hashem commands Avram to leave his father's house. He interprets first the second Pasuk and then goes back to interpret the first Pasuk. Something completely out of character for Rashi. So the Be'el Zerov says that, and this is where the Maranaim interprets the Pasuk this way as well, based upon a Zohar, but it's interesting that the Shach, which is one of the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, has a commentary on Chumash. And he interprets this pasuk as follows, because the Zohar Kodesh says, Avram don nishmasa. I think we talked about this last year, actually, maybe 2 years ago. Avram is the neshama. So now, in light of that, go back to the interpretation of the pasuk. Vayema Hashem al Avram. Hashem says to the neshama, Lech lecha me'artzcha, go forth from your land, el ha'aretz ashareka, to a land which I will show you. Says the Shach, that this is a conversation that takes place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the neshama of the Jew. It's a little bit like the Neshamala song that A.B. Rottenberg wrote, where Hashem says to the Neshama, I need to send you forth from this world to a world which is foreign to you, and your mission is not to forget who you are and from whence you came. Keep your eye on the ball. Remember who you are. And Mar Naim interprets it on the terms where Rashi says, Lech lecha, what is lecha, lahanoscha, l'tevoscha? The Mar Naim explains that it's for the benefit of the neshama to go down to this world, because the neshama, as it is, it takes pleasure in the Shechina before it came down to this world, is eating nahame d'chsufa, it is eating bread of shame, meaning it doesn't deserve what it's getting. Whereas when the neshama goes into this world and it succeeds in this world and comes back, then it deserves the pleasure. So lech lecha, Hashem says to the neshama, go forth, lahanoscha l'tevoscha, it's for your own good, because when you come back and then you will benefit from my presence, it will be a deserved pleasure. Says the Belzerov that the Hashem says to the neshama, go forth from a place that you're comfortable, that you're familiar with, to a land which is foreign to you. And the goal is that you not get lost, that you not become deceived in that world to which you go, that you don't take it too seriously, because then you will forget what your real purpose is. So he says as follows. This is the part which is a tremendous chizuk. Chazal tell us, Hakol b'yidei shamayim, chutz mi'ir shamayim. All the seminary girls fill in the end. It's very good. It's good that they do actually accomplish something there in the seminary. That everything is in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven itself. Which means Hashem controls everything except for a person's God-fearingness. That you got to do on your own. Says the Marsha, that doesn't mean that a person should not pray for Yiras Shamayim. Quite the contrary. It means that everything else HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls. You want Yiras Shamayim, plead and beg for it. Storm the heavens for Yiras Shamayim. He quotes that the Reb Uri Strelisk would, when it came to any concept, to any Indian, whether it was Tikkun Amidus or Asmoda in Torah or Yiras Shamayim, whatever it was in the spiritual realm, he said the most powerful thing we have at our disposal is tefillah. And that's the one thing people don't do. He says we must plead and implore HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the tools to be able to have fear of heaven, to be able to have love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to fulfill Torah mitzvahs. That's the most powerful ammunition we have, is tefillah. Says Rashi, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to the neshama, right? Hashem is saying to the neshama, go down to the world. And I want to tell you that it's a world with all kinds of traps. And there's all kinds of dangers in the world. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the neshama, comes Rashi and says, Ve'escha l'gai godol, this is Elikei Avram, Elikei Yitzchak, Elikei Yaakov. Rashi switches around the order to tell us, you know what the most powerful thing you have is? Elikei Avram, Elikei Yitzchak, Elikei Yaakov. The most powerful thing you have is tefillah. The most powerful thing you have to be able to accomplish the goal of the neshama coming to this world is to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for success. That's the most powerful thing you have. Then Rashi goes back and says, now let me reinterpret the first pasuk. Lech lecha me'artzecha, go forth from your father's land to your land. Now we can talk about the mission. But the first thing I need to tell you is, what is it that's going to bring about success in that mission? That's tefillah. And therefore Rashi reverses the order to tell us how critical tefillah is. Then he says, but I want you to understand one other thing. And that is that so many of us despair about ever being able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. We see the Yetzer Hara as an inferno, as a blazing flame that we can't control. So Avraham Avinu goes by the palace and sees that the palace is on fire. He goes by and sees a burning, raging fire and says, I'm not equal to this fire. So he questions not whether or not there's an owner, whether or not there's a God. He knew there's a God. But he said, is there a person who can overcome the raging fire of the Yetzer Hara? That was his question. Heitzitzel of Balabiros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, sticks his head out the window and says to him, Ani hu Balabira. There's only one way that you can overcome the Yetzer Hara, and that's by using me. If you plead with me, if you call out to me as the Balabira, as the owner of this, the owner of this palace, you can overcome it. So he says that's what the conversation here is about. It's not about whether or not there is a God. There is whether or not can we overcome the burning fire of the Yetzer Hara. And there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, without me you can't, no question. But with me, you can overcome the fire. That's how the Belzer Rav learns this. And he says, he puts it in such terms that in truth, he says, well, analyze this, okay? Let's go back and analyze this. Who is ultimately going to provide the power to overcome the Yetzer Hara? Hashem. So what are we getting credit for? See, quotes from the Yismach Maisha. What's our chelik in the whole thing? If Hashem is the one who's doing the battle, what do we get out of this? We get our schar is for asking. That's our portion in overcoming the Yetzer Hara is the fact that we motivated ourselves enough to ask for help. Because the success is provided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so I thought that was very cool, but that's not the part that is earth-shattering. Take a look. I noticed this morning in Shacharis that there's one line which is repeated twice in the same bracha of Birchas Krishma. Just one line. Take a look. This bracha begins on page 88 and concludes on page 92. It's one long bracha. Which line is it? Put him to the test here. There's one line which is repeated twice in the same, no, the first bracha of Birchas Krishma, beginning on 88 of Yoitzer Or of Aruch Hashach, concluding with Baruch Ata Hashem, Yoitzer Hamo'eres. While they're looking for that, let me share with you another difficulty. We talked about this when we were learning the Birchas Krishma. This bracha seems to have no place in Birchas Krishma. We know that from every other instance, if you want to look at the second bracha, okay, the second bracha which begins on the bottom of 92, Ahava Saylam. That bracha belongs here. Because it's a bracha that speaks about the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking for success in Torah and Mitzvahs. That belongs as an introductory bracha to the Shema. That makes sense. But if you look at what the first bracha is talking about, it has no relevance whatsoever to Kriya Shema. It talks about the angels, it talks about nature. Well, what does this have to do with as a bracha for the Shema? It seems to be completely unrelated. What? Okay, that's fair. I mean, but even before we get into the angels, we speak about nature. We speak about Yotzer Or of Aruch Hashach. So, which line is repeated twice? All right, it paid off. on the top of page 91. And in his goodness, he renews daily, perpetually, the work of creation. HaMechadesh B'tuvay B'chol Yom Tomid B'tuvay Mechadesh B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'aseh Bereishis. Then immediately before the end of the bracha, in the center of page 92, HaMechadesh B'tuvay B'chol Yom Tomid Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hashem renews in his goodness every day creation. It's got to be very important and very central if it's repeated twice in the same bracha.
Did you just notice that today?
Yes. I don't know, a lot of times. I only noticed it from the vantage point of learning the Svasemis. Otherwise, I never would have paid attention to it. So the Svasemis comments on the very same medrash. Okay, the same medrash with Moshe LaEchad is a parable to somebody Shehaya Oiver Mimakim LaMakim, who was traveling from place to place. V'ro Bira Medalekas, and he saw a palace which was lit up. Omar, he said, Toimer Shehi Blimani, can you say that there's no owner? Hates it's all of Balabira, so the owner of the palace looked upon him, Omale Anihu Balabira, I am the owner. So too, Avraham Avinu said, can it be that the world is without a manik? Hates itself of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked upon him. Amalei Anihu Balabira. I am the owner of this palace. I am the owner of this world. Svasemis questions, why does it have to be a person who is traveling from place to place? Why could it not be you're sitting in your living room looking out the window and the house across the street is lit up and you make the same comment? Hey, the house across the street is lit up. Can it be that this house doesn't have an owner? It's a great question, right? Why does the mushal that the medrash... Okay, so let's say you're sitting somewhere. If the medrash very specifically says there's a person who is traveling from place to place... But he's not looking at Niflois. He's talking about a house which is lit up.
Well, it is.
I understand. But in the mashal, first you got to develop the credibility of the mashal. And by the way, similarly, obviously, every detail in the mashal builds the nimshal. Says the Svasemis. I'm sorry? Right. So therefore, it could be that you don't. That's what Trudy was saying, that otherwise you know that who lives there. Says the Svasemis as follows, that there are two, we find two terms. One term is a mahalech, and the other term is an omed. A mahalech is somebody who's on the move. An omed is somebody who's standing still. A human being is called a mahalech. A human being is called somebody who moves. An angel is an omid. An angel stands still. The Svasemis writes in code. Okay, so I showed this to somebody else. He saw it completely differently than I did. And I said to him, that's fair, because every time I learned it four times and I saw it four different ways. So that's what you get for writing in code. Hergel naseteva. What does that mean? So language from Sefer Achinuch, Sefer Charedim, early sources. Hergel Nasateva. Right. So what's a literal translation? Hergel Nasateva. Hergel is? What is it? Habit. Habit. That was the word. I was like, I can never remember the word. Habit becomes nature. Right? Always reminds me of the awe. My brother-in-law Herschel came here for the first time and saw cucumbers growing on a plant in my backyard and was absolutely awestruck. Right? He thought cucumbers came in a wax box in the vegetable store. Right? Hergel nasateva. Habit becomes nature. And nature causes a person to stop looking at the true essence of something. They tell an awful joke about a fellow whose car breaks down next to a farm, and he gets out and opens the hood, and the hood is steaming, and he's got his head under the hood, and he hears somebody saying, "It's the carburetor." So he looks around, and there's nobody there, so he imagines he's hearing things. So he puts his head under the hood again, and again, he hears this voice say, "I'm telling you, it's the carburetor." So he picks his head up, and the only being standing there is a cow. So the cow looks at him and says, "I'm telling you, it's the carburetor." And he freaks out, goes running for the farmhouse, knocks on the door completely out of breath. The farmer comes to the door and says, "You're not going to believe what's going to what just happened. I was out there and I lifted the what do they call the hood of my car, and I looked underneath it, and this cow said, 'It's the carburetor.'" So the farmer says, "Is it a white cow with a big black blotch right over its nose?" He said, yeah. He says, "That's Bessie. She doesn't know anything about cars." That's Hergel Nasateva. Says the Svasemis that it's not that way only in taking things for granted in the world. That's not the only place that happens. It's not just when we appreciate or lack appreciation for the wonders of the human body or the wonders of nature. They're certainly Hergel Nasateva. You appreciate a sunshine when you spend a week in Manchester. Then you appreciate a blue sky. What a novel thing. When we landed here and Chani said to me, "Look, the sky is blue." It really is. That's, you know, when you lack something, you begin to appreciate it. The problem is not only in that realm, which is tragic. Says the Svasemes, "V'afilu b'toyru mitzvus." The problem is when this happens in our Judaism. What happens when our religious observance becomes habitual? What happens when our Torah and mitzvahs is no longer exciting? When Shachris is just Shachris and Mincha is just Mincha and Hadlakas Neris is just Hadlakas Neris and Kiddush is, it's all Hergel Nasateva. Say that a guy came to shul one morning and was standing there with his tefillin like this, and he turned to the guy next to him and says, "Am I putting them on or am I taking them off?" And it's the exact same position at some point, right? Says the Svasemis, that's the tragic. Is nasa tevait becomes nature, v'sheicheach hapimius, and a person forgets what it's all really about. L'chein tzorich b'chol eis, says the Svas Emes, therefore a person must at all times l'chapes, to search, derech ve'etze chadosha, to find a new novel path. This isn't, you know, Svas Emes was struggling with the same issue. Boredom in Judaism. You can hang up a big plank. What do they call those things you put outside of the doctor's office? Not a plank. It's called a... A shingle. American Jewry. Bored with Judaism. So Sam has addressed it 150 years ago. Person must search for new and novel etzes in observance. So listen to this. Ulechein, and for this reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechadesh b'tuvai b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh v'reishis. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews creation every day. Shelelias gover ha-teva, to stop nature from overwhelming, to stop nature from being taken for granted. And the same takes place in Torah and mitzvahs. What do Chazal tell us? Pasuk says in the Shema, "V'ha'yu hadvarim ha'ela asher anochi mitzavcha hayoyim al levavecha." These words that I command you today should be upon your heart. Say Chazal, what do you mean asher anochi mitzavcha hayoyim, that I command you today? We got the Torah thousands of years ago. Come Chazal and tell us, B'chol yoim yubeinecha kechadoshim. Every day, the Torah must be to you as if it is new. How do you do that? Says the Sfas Emes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world anew every single day. And just like nature is renewed every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu infuses into nature and into Torah a new, deeper meaning every single day. So it's not the same mitzvah I'm doing today that existed yesterday, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreated everything today anew. Problem is, we're blind. We take for granted everything. We think that it's the same that it was yesterday. So we're walking around in life with blindfolds. So this concept of a mechadish b'cholim, tamid ma'aseh b'reishis, the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu renews creation every day, is absolutely central to this second pasuk in the Shema. How can a person inculcate within themselves the concept that Torah is given anew every day because nature is renewed every day? And along with nature being renewed every day, we're given Torah anew every day. It's not the same mitzvah. And to stress that, to help us understand the essence of what it is that we're supposed to be doing here, Anshe Knesset HaGedolah placed that line in the Baruch of Krishma twice, saying, wake up people, pay attention to what's going on here. This isn't the same thing today that it was yesterday. It's a whole new world. One of the Mefarshim says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was walking in the desert, so it says that he saw v'nisneh boyer, he saw that the bush was burning. The pasuk says he was sar lirais, that he stopped to look. So one of the commentaries says that that bush had been burning for many, many years. Nobody bothered to stop and look at it. Pasuk says, when he stopped to pay attention to look, Hashem said, that's my man. That's when Hashem appointed him as the leader of Klal Yisrael. A person who's aware, who has the attention to take the time out and pay attention to what's going on, to focus on the fact that there's something novel going on here, that person has the potential of being a leader in Klal Yisrael. So I think what the Sfas Emes is saying is that this is the meaning of the fact that a person needs to be a mover, not a stander. A person who stands is a person who does the same thing day in and day out. Very observant, very religious. Never misses a beat, never misses a minyan, never misses anything. Same thing, every single day. He's an aymed. It's not going anywhere. It's monotonous, habitual observance. But a person who is a mahalich, a person who moves, is a person who never experiences the same mitzvah twice. It's always new. There's always something, novel, there's always something new going on. And it's not deception, because this isn't the same mitzvah that was given yet. It's Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom. It was given today. It's a new thing. Says the Medrash, Moshel le'echad shayo over makom le'makom. There was a person who was on the move. He could never sit in the same place. He was always moving. And he saw that there was a bir delekas. He saw that the palace was lit up. The palace had been lit up for ages. Nobody else ever paid attention to it. It's to the person who pays attention to the fact that the palace is lit up, the person who's on the move is the one who pays attention. But for everybody else, teva, nature conceals the miracle. Language is very strong. Va'adam tzarich lechapes, a person must search, limtzai zayse yischachus, to find the novelty, to find the newness, to find the yischachus every day. That's where we are. Lishkadi says, the pasuk says, Lishkoid al dalsoisa yom yom. A person who's pounding at the doors every day to find what's new today. What are you offering? You know, what's today's special, if you will? What is there new for me today? Therefore, the Medrash quotes the Pasuk. Shimi bas, the Pasuk says, listen, my daughter, uri'i, and you will see. Vahati oznech, and lend your ear. Veshikri amech ubeis avich, says the Pasuk. Two different things. You have to be willing to hear. You have to be open to listening. What is there that's new today? Rabbi Yaakov Haber relates on one of his tapes that at some point he got into the works of Reb Tzadok HaKohen. It's a very, very novel thinker. So he went to visit Rav Shach. And Rav Shach was already then in his late 90s. And Rav Shach said to him, younger man, what sefer do you have there? So he said, I think it was Tzidkas HaTzadik, one of the Svarim of Reb Tzadok HaKohen. So he said to tell me something from the sefer. So Yaakov got all excited. He said it was really into it. And I began to share with him a whole new perspective on some concept. And I don't know what it was, but it was a whole marach. And he said halfway into it, Rav Shach began to weep. So he stopped. So Rav Shach said, in my old age, he says, I'm having, you know, he says, what you're saying and in your excitement, it sounds so exciting and so intriguing. He says, I don't have the koyach to be able to absorb what you're saying. So he began to weep, like, you know, how forlorn he was, that here's somebody who was offering him a new novel approach to something and he didn't have the koyach to be able to absorb it. But that's an Erlich Yid, is somebody who's over. You got, you know, Hashem has a whole new thing to offer me today. What is there that I can, you know, that I can absorb today that didn't exist yesterday? That's the difference between the angel and the human being. So take a look. Sure.
Well, let's not even go daily. Let's go weekly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're standing there Friday afternoon, one more Harry Friday afternoon, without the bench left. What are you going to bring new to it?
Waiting for Friday afternoon to bring something new to it is probably a little bit late in the game.
Intimates what you're going to do, please God, every Friday afternoon.
Right. So Shabbos happens to be one of the easier mitzvahs to do this with because there's such a wealth of information available on Shabbos. But it requires spending some time. There's an entire encyclopedia available on insights into Shabbos. Which requires spending the time. It's all in the preparation. And you'll be awestruck as to what happens. The Piasetzin Rebbe talks about this in Derech HaMelech, that when a person is into something, when they're thinking about something, all of a sudden everything you see somehow fits into that. And that's what happened with... Huh? That's what it is? So that's what happened with this Sfas Emes. I was looking at this Sfas Emes, and all of a sudden all these different things fell into it, even though he doesn't say it, because, you know, that's where your mind is at. Yeah. You're still also in the reality check? Yeah. Not at all. I like reality. For moments, moments here and there. Sure, that was a real reality check. Okay? Let's take this to the end of this bracha on page 92. We say, Amechadish b'tuvay b'chol yom tov ma'asev reishis. This is how we're concluding the bracha. And then we speak about Kodesh Baruch Hu, about what we focus on, this concept of light. Ka'amur, as the Pasuk says, La'isa Eirim Gedolim, to he who makes great illuminations, Ki Li'olam Chazdei forever of his kindness, Or Chodesh Al Tzion Toir, and new light should you shine upon Tzion, V'niz Kechulonu Meheru Li'olam, maybe may we merit this light quickly. light has a phenomenal quality. And that is that light allows you to see things that you didn't see before. Right? You could be in a room for ages with a 20-watt bulb and not observe many things about it. And then all of a sudden, you put in a 100-watt bulb. It's usually not a good idea because you see all the things you need to fix. Right? The wallpaper is not even, and the carpet is stained, and the furniture needs retouching, and so on. But certainly, light allows you to behold all kinds of things that you never saw until that point. We understand that when it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, that there's infinite reasons and there's infinite insights and all kinds of forms of geschmack in Torah and mitzvahs. But we're living in the dark. Nonetheless, in His kindness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds a different ray every day. He allows a different facet to be seen every day. And that's what the Sfasemis is saying, go find it. What is novel today? They tell an awesome story that when the Baal Tanya was in prison, so he was in a dungeon. There was no light. And the Tsar sent one of his generals to question the Baal Tanya. And in the process of the conversation, the Baal Tanya told him what time it was. The general said to him, "You haven't seen daylight in months. How do you have any concept at all as to what time it is?" So the Baal Tanya said to him, "Look, you're never going to understand this, but every moment has a different name or combination of a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that a person needs to think about. If you keep track of those things, then it's not at all difficult to figure out what time it is." So he was suspicious. So the Baal Tanya said, "I'll tell you something more." He said, "Hashem says to Adam Arishain, 'Ayeka, where are you?'" So he says to him, "You think God didn't know where Adam was?" God knew where Adam was. What he was saying to him is, "You're 43 years old, and so many months, and so many," he says, "in 6 months, and 3 weeks, and 2 days, and so many hours into the day, where are you in your life?" And it was the exact age and months and weeks and days that this general, you know, he was exactly 48 to 43 years old and so many months and so many weeks, and he obviously freaked out and went back to the Tsar and got the Baal Tanya out of jail. That was, you know, his doing. But there is a unique facet that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows every day to flow into the world. What we're waiting for is a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals it all. There's an Ur Chadosh. There's a new light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shine upon Tzion, where it's not going to be dependent upon our searching and looking between the crevices and in all the dark places to find that light, but it's going to be completely exposed to everyone. And that's where we conclude the bracha with Ur Chadosh al Tzion to Avinis Kechulanu. At that time, every one of us will be privy to that light. It'll be open and exposed to all of us so that we'll each be able to find the novelty in Torah and mitzvahs. Similarly, in Esdras, we speak about, it's on page 100. Here the translation, they don't use a literal translation here, but we say it's in the third line. Emes ashrei ish sheyishma lemitzvaseicha, fortunate is the person who listens to your mitzvahs, by your Torah and your words he places upon his heart. And this is exactly what the Sfasemis is talking about. He says, Ashrei ish, fortunate is the person, sheyishma lemitzvaseicha, who is listening, what is the mitzvah saying to me today? This is not the same mitzvah that I had yesterday. Ashrei ish, fortunate is the person who's not living a miserable life of boredom in Torah and mitzvahs. That's Ashrei Ish. That's fortunate is the person, sheyishma lemitzvaseicha, who has the seichel to listen and say this mitzvah is not the same mitzvah that existed yesterday. And therefore, But therefore he rejoices every time he has a mitzvah, because it's not the same mitzvah I had yesterday. If it was the same mitzvah, then it becomes boring. But if he's listening to what the mitzvah says today, then it's a whole new experience. And new experiences are fun. I think there's two issues. First of all, you're dealing with an issue of, at that point, there's really no credit for getting it, because it's conspicuous. And it's all about, as the Maharanayim said, it's all about deserving the light. Right. So if we deserve the light, then we get much more out of it. Everybody knows that a scavenger hunt, a treasure hunt, is much more rewarding than just finding everything right in front of you. So that's A. B is, there probably is an element of shattering that would take place if all of this were revealed to us in a single moment. We wouldn't survive the revelation.
But then why dangle it in front of us in the Bracha? It's like, go all that way, and then the Almighty keeps saying, in the feeling, well, just wait.
Oh, he's not dangling. Well, we're pleading for a time when that will be revealed to us. That's what we're pleading for, and not so much for our sake, but for the sake of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That plead is v'nizkei chulonu mehera l'yareh, that we should plead, we constantly plead for a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will be revealed in the world. Even though at that time it's yomim she'emem chefetz, it's a time when there's no reward anymore because the game's over. As it says on that great monument at the Beis Medrash HaGadol, there's a chess champion not far from my grandfather. And the inscription on the stone is, I'm not going to remember it. When the last move is made, the game is over. Something to that effect. Very appropriate for a monument. But pretty much, that's the story with creation. Now we get reward for searching. Now we get reward for finding the Geshmak. At that time, when it's all revealed to us, it's no longer a challenge.